Our New Testament scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God. There are so many wonderful things about Christmas season. And for many, many people, the greatest evangelist of the Christmas season is the late, great Andy Williams, who went into his pulpit on the radio airwaves and declared, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." The year was 1963 when the radio airwaves began to proclaim that message. In 2001, the Society of American Composers and Authors started monitoring which holiday songs got the most radio airplay. And in that year, 2001, the most wonderful time of the year, was given number 25 out of 25. In 2003, it had risen to number 13. In 2010, it had risen to number 4. And I don't know what it is today, but I can guess. This is the world's version of the good news. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with kids jingle-ingling, jingle-belling, and everyone telling you to be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. I love that line. Say it with me. It's the happiest season of all. It just kind of wants to dance. With those holiday greetings and great happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. And how do we honor this season the most? Listen, there'll be parties for me. Marshmallows for roasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. I have no idea what the composers had in mind when they talked about scary ghost stories. I imagine they were thinking of Scrooge and the Dickens Pat Masterpiece. And as far as tales of glories of past Christmases are concerned, I seriously doubt it had anything to do with what happened to them. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a fun song. It's a catchy song. It's a feel-good song. It makes you want to put on a sweater that comes to the neck on a cold day and get some hot cider and drink. It's also a very tragic song in many ways. For one thing, this is primarily what the world is. It's their statement of faith. It's their creed. And they would even add some of the things to it. They would say, "I believe in parades and bands and floats and rockets."
I believe in boxes, in bones, in colorful paper. I believe in blinking lights on aluminum trees and cocktail parties with fancy hors d'oeuvres. I believe in stuffing things into stockings and baking cookies and bread and wearing things red. And once they affirm their faith in fighting this creed, instead of saying glory to God in the highest, they say it's the most wonderful time of the year. But of course, they completely misunderstand. And here's some irony. They lie. The kids jingle belling drive most of them insane. And when friends come to call and the loved ones are near, you can't wait for them to leave. And they dread, some of them, going to one more party. And if one more person tells them to be of good cheer, I might bop them on the head and tell them to get rid of this counterfeit joy. Bah! Humbug! If you've been here this month, you know that we've been talking about five. The gift of Christmas, the humility of Christmas, and today, the tragedy of Christmas. What are your feelings about Christmas? Is it the most wonderful time of the year for you? Or are you one of those persons who just tries to get Christmas? Relieved when it's over. Some people are prone to depression. Are you one of them? What excites you about Christmas? Is it marshmallows for roasting? Is it caroling out in the snow? Or is it the fact that salvation from heaven above miraculously came into your life and invaded it in the form of an infant child named Jesus Christ? Dave Barry writes for the Chicago Tribune magazine 2 years ago. This appeared in his column during the Christmas season. The title was Notes on Western Civilization. He said, to avoid offending anybody, the school dropped religion altogether and started singing about the weather. At my son's school, they now hold the winter program in February, and they sing strange songs such as Winter Wonderland, Frosty the Snowman, and yes, this is a real song, Susie Snowflake, all of which is pretty funny because we live in Miami. A visitor from another planet would assume that the children belong to the Church of Meteorology. The Apostle John said he came to that which was his time. But his time did not. John also said in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Let me paraphrase that a bit. In him is life, and that life is the life of men. John said the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. My paraphrase, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. Mary said, how can this be? Joseph said, how can this be? The angel said, fear not. The shepherds ran. The wise men searched. The devil tried to stamp out the light by energizing Herod, his enemy, to kill those babies. Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt. Why? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos. The Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Greek word. What does that Greek word mean, Logos? It was used 500 years before Jesus was born by philosophers and theologians alike, and it had very lofty meaning. Here are some of them. It was the universal reason permeating the world. Catherine Walt reminded us. It was described as a means of communion between God and man.
It was somehow related to the utterances of God when he said, "Let there be." Whatever God said came into existence. It was associated with wisdom. It was discernment at an elevated level, almost incomprehensible to man. In other words, we can't really define it. It's a word so wonderful that our human vocabulary cannot grasp it. And it's a word carefully chosen by the Apostle John when he said, "The Word, the Logos, became flesh." I can't get my mind around it. But this is the incarnation. This is the universal concept of God Himself becoming flesh. And chestnuts roasting over an open fire have absolutely nothing. How do we respond to this awesome gift of God with us? How do we respond to these? How should we respond to it? Are you saying that I have to do away with all the traditions of Christmas and all the things that bring me joy in my life, or I'm going to go to hell? No, I'm not saying that at all. Of course I'm not. What I am saying is, wake up and smell the evergreens and smell the hot cider that permeate our lives this time of year, and recognize that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is born. He is born now on earth. He was born centuries ago, and he still lives in us. He still lives in us. He lives in you. He's here. He is born, the divine Christ child, in us. Hallelujah. Fall on your knees. Not take apart the knots of the Christmas tree light. Not to put another present under the tree. Not to fix another toy for a grandchild or a child. But to rest with you. And the Lord of Lords became the Logos, the Word, the Being, the Savior. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I'll never get to you. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome for your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your mind before you let him in, hide some magazines and put the Bible where they had been? Would you turn off the radio and wish you had him under that glass, loud, tasty food? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Would you let Jesus walk right in? Would you rush him? And I wonder if the Savior's a day or two, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say? With life, will you continue to say? Would you be glad that you stand heaven upon him? And would you sigh with great relief that you have to call? With Jesus in person, and in without him, nothing was made that happened. In him was life. and that one little light of men, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The world became mad. And made his dwelling on God. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace. I don't want to rob you with mystical. I don't want to rob you with the mystical. I want you to enjoy the laughter that comes with this season if you are blessed to have laughter in your life. I want you to enjoy the fellowship with any loved ones if you are blessed to have him and loved ones in your life. So I want to challenge for you. The next time you hear Andrew Williams or anybody else singing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And you hear these words, there'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. Remember that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, became flesh and dwells in us. And remember that the incarnation of Jesus Christ is not a tale. It's the truth. In your home, in your car, in your friend's home, in your relative's home, stop. Pray. See. And wonder at the mystery of the truth of this awesome, perfect gift. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ into our lives and for showing us what true love is. May we be Christ-like as we celebrate Christ in Christmas. May we reflect your life and bring healing to this world so true. So Lord, I pray blessings on this the people gathered here, and on our love and our friends, that all of us, all of them, can see and hear and be filled with your love. Jesus.